Hey guys, it's the sotficfamily.blogspot.com. This is our third podcast. Again, we're a family and we're dedicated to helping others by life coaching and wellness coaching. And providing information that is already available, but unfortunately not a ton of people know about. And by recommending different things that we found to work for ourselves with regards to health and things that work for us. So anyway, in this episode, I wanted to talk about something that really perturbs me. I call it mediocrity. Now, when you hear of mediocrity, you're instantly going to say, oh, you know, you mean like I should be better than I currently am, or, you know, I should strive to be more successful. And that's actually not what I'm talking about. When I talk about mediocrity here, so I talk about how many people settle. That's really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about settling. I'm talking about normality as we know it nowadays. I don't know how many people out there have 9-to-5s or some kind of equivalent of 9-to-5 and are working a job that they don't like. The travels that I've done in America, I'm actually not from here. I was born in America, but when I was 5, my family bought a house in France. And I spent most of my life there. It's a town called Antibes. It's between Nice and Cannes in France, very close to the French to the Italian border. My mother is from England, and my family is from England on her side. So I'm actually more European. I've spent most of my life there. In fact, you know, a good percentage of it, if not, you know, vast majority of it. And I spent a lot of time in Singapore because my father had a job that made us travel there. The time I have spent in America has been in the Midwest, and unfortunately my experience in the Midwest was not very good. I was in Wisconsin, that's where I was born, and I actually had a really terrible time from the outgo, with children harassing and teasing me and other students. I was absolutely not the only one. It was an all-white community. It was incredibly racist and hostile. I would just say it was totally, like, anti-feminine rights, even though they would not say that. Because it's amazing. Women there would not wear dresses. They all dressed the same. It was literally like, I don't know if any of you guys have read The Lottery. Shirley Jackson wrote The Lottery. It's a great story. My husband recommended it. I'm actually a writer. That's what I... that's my passion, besides helping people and promoting wellness. And I love to write, actually, horror, not slasher stuff, people, okay? Stuff that has some depth to it, okay? And my husband's like, you've got to read The Lottery. It's this really disturbing story about, you know, a very small village, and you think that the story's about A, but instead it's about Z. And it just deals with just how archaic some of these values are, or, you know, wannabe values in these little parochial towns in America. You know, towns that look pretty and seem quaint, and, you know, everything looks great, and people knit, and wow, look at that apple pie. But behind it, you feel this deep, deep, there's something wrong, you know, really something wrong. I think that's why Stephen King writes a lot about Maine, where he lives. You know, they've just got so many small towns there, and just the people must be incredible characters, but very difficult to live with in some ways because, you know, that narrow-mindedness you find. But anyway, the town that I lived in was called Sturgeon Bay. And, I mean, it just was totally like The Lottery, the story. You know, these people would just verbally slam you in a method I've never seen before. It was so cruel and vindictive. They did it to me when I was literally... in kindergarten, and adults would do it. I even had the principal insult me, and I was this kind of like meek little girl that I wanted everyone to like me, you know, and I wanted to appease people, and it just never worked. It never worked to any of them. I mean, I didn't even have a shot at saying something. I was slammed down, and there was another kid in my class, John. He was just verbally berated by everybody. For nothing, for no reason whatsoever. I didn't do anything at all, honestly, I really didn't. But another kid, Michael, he was in my class, he had it happen so viciously that, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that, you know, some of the kids that I went to school with eventually committed suicide because of it just not ending. It was incessant. It was when they were walking home, it was at school, It was on the bus. It was here. It was there. It was everywhere. You know, they would insult you not only like, oh, you know, your shirt's ugly. I mean, they would insult you to the core of your being. They would find things that were so vindictive for no reason at all. Like I said, they were racist. We didn't have any African Americans in our town. We didn't have any Hispanic people in our town. It's not even our town. I was not a part of it. I was an outcast. I was the outsider. And I grew up in France and would come there and go and, you know, that's probably why they didn't like me, to be honest. I never threw it in anyone's face. I was never like, oh, I went to France. I lied and said I went to Florida every time. But anyway, for years I've pondered why these people, not just the kids, because the kids get it from the parents, you know, that's obvious. Why these people were so, you know, the word I want to say is evil, because honestly, I saw this. I saw evil. I saw evil in a way that it's not killing, it's not through torture, it's through verbal, just a way that just was just, I, you know, it was a verbal way. So you might say, well, yeah, that's not that bad, but I don't know if any of you guys have been teased, but, you know, some people kill themselves because of how bad it is. And not just sensitive people, some tough people, you know? And I wondered why. I mean, it's literally plagued me for years. Why? You know, I'm writing actually a memoir right now about my travels and living with an alcoholic family when I was growing up and just all the countries we'd been to and all of our experiences there. And I just said, you know, this question has plagued me. Out of every place I've been, the Midwest of America has had this mind frame more than anywhere else. Again, Africa, Asia, it's had it more, you know, and it's exposed itself more to me here in America. And I've said, why? You know, why is this? I've tried to dissect it because I just was in Michigan recently, and, you know, I was excited to go. We were visiting family, and it happened to me again there. And I'm going, you know, what did I do? I wasn't doing anything. I consider myself a somewhat friendly person. In fact, I consider myself a very friendly person, you know. And I never judge people. I'm very honest and open with people. I love people. I love to talk to people. I was getting these looks, these evil looks, you know. And I just said, I had to ask my husband. I was like, do you see this or is it just me? He's like, no. We're getting this. It's this scrutiny, you know, for no reason. And I was like, why? And he's like, because they're bored. They're bored. It just rang true to me, you know. In LA, LA's got a lot of problems, okay? We're not even going to go into them, okay? It's got a lot of problems. But man, you have every flavor of personality here. And in general, people leave each other alone. You know, you've got gay, you've got straight, you've got feminist, you've got, you know, extreme religious, you've got extreme anti-religious, and they all live together. And it's fine. You don't get, I never get stared at walking down the street. You know, I never get stared at. Hollywood is filled with so many different people with pink hair, blue hair, whatever, colors. You go to the Midwest, those colors are non-existent. You get people wearing khakis and cut-off, you know, shorts that are, you get women looking like men and women who are straight. I'm not talking about lesbians, you know, who you could understand, you know, that's their nature, that's how they are. I'm talking about straight women dressing like they're men. And it's not in a, you know, in the closet way. It's literally, they just don't have this sense of self. Now, if you're in the Midwest, don't think I'm insulting you. Because if you're listening to this, you're definitely not one of those people. I'm talking about people who are so bored with their lives, so lacking who they are, that sense of self, that they're trying to take on another life. They're trying to mold themselves after what the majority is doing. They've got a job. Chances are this is the case that they don't enjoy. And it just eats at them. And they might not know it. They might, you know, laugh at their neighbors and think, oh, I love my life. I love my little job. You know, it's happy. You know, it's comfortable. You know, it's comfortable. I'm enjoying it. And they don't think twice about it. But you know what? Their unhappiness is showing up. And it's showing up in how they look, how they're dressing, their lack of sense of style. I mean, we're all unique. You know, why aren't we all dressing unique? I mean, in L.A., you definitely get the uniqueness. Sure, in Beverly Hills, you get the, you know, blonde bimbos, fine. But you get uniqueness. You get color here. You get flavor, like I said. You go to the Midwest, you are hard-pressed to find it. And you know where you find it the majority of the time? Is in the African-American community, where they're outgoing, They're talkative. They're, hey, how's it going? What's up? They confront you. I'm sorry, but many of the Caucasians there, it's like they're in this sleep. And if you're living there, maybe you can see what I'm talking about. You maybe you've gone, there's something wrong with, the area I'm living in. There's something that's not right. Now, when I talk again about mediocrity, I'm not saying people should be racing to be king or queen of the planet, or racing to be the next superstar. What I'm saying is that mediocrity is conforming. It's conforming to something that's easy or something that's been pressed or pushed on us. Maybe it's taking your father's job, your mother's job that their father or mother have done before them. Maybe it's doing what the quote-unquote group is doing, because you know what? A lot of the times that's it. Like, for example, the whole women dressing like men in the Midwest very frequently, that whole joke about mom jeans that was on SNL. AKA jeans that are unflattering and look horrible. I'm not talking about everyone has to be trendy, but I'm talking about women putting on jeans that make them look about 50 times worse than how they normally look. They call it mom jeans. Hey, I'm a mom. I don't wear mom jeans. I don't know what kind of jeans I wear, but they're better than the ones I've seen on SNL and in the Midwest. You see this lack of individuality. There's no brightness shining through in. You don't see their personality. You see them shopping at the same stores, and I can tell you what stores they are. They're L.L. Bean, they're J. Crew. There are about three or four of them. Walmart. And it's not just because of price, people. Because you know what? Nowadays at Walmart, as crappy and corrupt as it is, they've got a little bit more of a variety. But people are still buying those khakis. They're still buying those polo shirts. I mean, if you come here to LA and you stand in the Hollywood Highland Mall or in the Grove, you can spot tourists a mile away that are from the Midwest or South or parochial, small town America, let's say, because they all dress alike. They dress in the khakis, they dress windbreakers. No one here wears windbreakers. Why? Because they're incredibly unflattering, They all look the same. It's like, what is going on? Why? And then you compare them to the unbelievable crowds of mixed, crazy dressed, people, and it's like night and day, And I'm not saying you have to like how someone dresses, because I don't think people should obsess over what they dress, but I think people should dress how they want to, not how the group dresses, not how their parents dress, not how their kids dress, how they want to dress. Where do they like antique earrings? Fine, buy them and wear them then. Why are you scared to do that? But the reason I think this is happening is because there's just this obsession with doing as we're told, doing what's comfortable, and staying where we're born. I think that's the biggest crime you could ever do to yourself, is to put yourself in this self-imposed prison of I've got to do what the group's doing, I've got to dress how the group's dressing. You know what? If the group that you're in, if the town or whatever, is as bad as like I told you where I was born, you need to get out of there right now, okay? You need to stop kidding yourself of, oh, but it's comfortable, but this is all I've ever known. But my parents are here, but my friends, my two friends are here, when they're my friends, because sometimes they talk shit about me. No, you need to get up and you need to go, and you need to follow your heart. If you always dreamed about living in New York and you're scared because you don't know if you can find a job, I don't care. You need to go there now. It might not work out, but it's better than where you are. It's better than where you are. When I talk about mediocrity, I'm talking about people not pursuing a dream. I'm talking about people settling with what is easy, what is, hey, we've got a job. Okay, I'll take it. Oh, it's at a pharmacy, it's at a supermarket, it's at, ask how many people who are working at a supermarket. Ask how many of them, hey, did you always want to work at a supermarket? They'll probably give you a bad look. Could you think I want to, work at a supermarket? But maybe the owner of that supermarket always wanted to. Maybe it was a dream of his or hers to own a supermarket. Maybe it's a family store and they're just, this is what I've always wanted to do, They're pursuing their dreams. The person working at the store, maybe they're not. Maybe they're just pissed that they're there. Or maybe they're happy they're there because, hey, this is a stepping stone for me. I'm actually, I really like the organic produce I'm working with. I'm, writing right now, and I'm trying to finish my book, and this is a really great means for me to do it. They're not mediocre. They're taking a step in the right direction. But the people that are working at that store that are like, I hate this, I'm just here because it's paying the bills, and I'm too scared to go elsewhere, they're being mediocre. They are settling. And I'm sorry, but the vast majority of parochial, rural America and rural towns throughout the UK, because my family that are in the UK, my uncle that's in Barhill Village, a small town there, it's the same thing. People are settling with these jobs. Most of the time, they're not owners of the company. They're just, employees that took the job for whatever reason. They hate it. They bitch about it nonstop. But yet, guess what? They keep going back. And guess where they go after work? They go to the bar. Why do they go to the bar? Because they're bored. And what does a bar do? It entertains. And it entertains in a way that, hey, granted, pubs in the UK are better than bars in the US, but nonetheless, you're getting drunk and you're trying to deny the fact that you're unhappy. Now, if somebody's been pushing on this, you have to do something practical. Parents do that all the time. You have to do something practical, son, you know? I'm sorry, people. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them at all. You know, even if you're 60 and your parents who are in their 80s or 90s are pushing that on you still, don't listen to them. You don't have to throw it in their face. You can just say, I understand, Mom. I understand. But don't be mediocre. Don't settle. Because you know what? You are compromising and you're telling the physical universe what? That you don't deserve your dreams. Now, if you don't know what you want from life, then you know what? You need to make it your priority finding out what you want. You need to tell the universe, I am open and receptive to new things that will make me happy. I'm open and receptive to my path and my destiny. You know, you need to be doing affirmations daily. I am powerful. I am happy. I am living a fantastic, amazing life that everyone would want. You know, you need to be looking. So many people want to turn their back and just settle because it's comfortable, because they're scared, because, ooh, they're going to have to take a chance and move, or, you know, it's different. It's whatever. But there's so many tools you can use. The Secret, the Law of Attraction. You can buy Abraham Hicks books. You know, there's so many people. If you go to my blog, I list free sources of inspiration that I have searched for, spent hours searching for on the internet. Free, you know, sources. Again, our blog is the Sattvic, the T-H-E, Sattvic, S-A-T-T-V-I-C, family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, .blogspot.com. And on there, I searched some of my blogs. It's a recent one. I list 40 links of free inspirational information, downloads, podcasts, stuff that really is just a wealth of information, wealth, from different sources, from John Azareff to more meditative sources. I'm just going to list another one. If you go to Dharma, dharma.org, you can download what they call Metta, M-E-T-T-A, meditation. Yeah, well, it's medication too. Otherwise known as loving kindness medication. There we go. I'm saying it again. Well, it is medication for your soul. You can download a free iPod podcast. I seriously can't talk since it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You can download that there, and you can listen to it and do the meditation yourself. I know John Azareff's site is fantastic. If you go to Mr. Fire, MRFIRE.com, I know that he has some great, he's got a podcast. He knows how to market himself, but also how to provide free information. I list sites that you can download things. I list sources, places to go to get books. So if you're on a quest and you're just not sure, just go look. You can find it out there. There are sources of free information that will inspire you to pursue your dreams, to find your dreams. I'm going to tell you about a book that I found out through Oprah, funny enough. It's called The Introduction to Your Life's Purpose. It's written by a man named Ainsley MacLeod, a Scottish man. My husband's family are from Scotland, so yay! And it's a book that, he's a psychic. Oprah was very skeptical when she had him on her show. She really grilled this poor man, who was obviously a very kind, compassionate guy. But he talks about, from a psychic's point of view, how we can find our path, and I find it really fascinating. He's one person you can get into reading. Wayne Dyer, he has a book called Inspiration. That's really great. It's actually, I got it for $3 from Amazon, or no, not Amazon, but Borders. You can find Deepak Chopra, that the Chopra Center has some videos. Where I studied Jiva, they have I think it's Jiva Ayurveda. If you go to YouTube, just type in Jiva, J-I-V-A Ayurveda, A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A, and they have some videos there. I'm going to have a whole podcast on my teacher from Ayurveda who started her own clinic. She's the best doctor in the world. She has a website. Let me see if I can find it quickly while I'm talking to you guys. But there are so many sources that can help you find your path. You know, and your path's not going to be linear. Maybe you take a couple years to find out what you really want to do. Maybe it's instant. Maybe you have something happen out of nowhere and, it changes your life. You don't know, how life is going to manifest itself to you. You might not have an idea now, but it might come to you too. And it might come to you in a way you don't expect. So, just keep open-minded and keep on the lookout. Because at the end of the day, you're going to find it. But the best key you have to finding it is to do affirmations and to watch The Secret like a mad fiend. Honestly, the way that the Law of Attraction works is if you become obsessed with it. Okay? Honestly, you have to really, really want it. And if you want it badly enough, if you envision you already have it, that's when miracles happen. So anyway, my teacher's website I just looked up is Argoya for Health, spelt, I'm sorry, Arogoya for Health, spelt ArogyaForHealth.com. Argoya for Health. Sorry, she just opened it, so I'm like, oh, how do I spell this? ArogyaForHealth.com. And anyway, that's another site. But if you do know what you want and you're just hiding, because that's really what it's doing. If you're doing a 9-to-5 you hate, you're hiding. Come on. You're scared. And you're never going to be happy doing that. You're never going to have an impact on the world or on your own life doing that. Don't settle. Mediocrity never got anyone, as far as their soul's concerned, as far as their true happiness is concerned. It never got anyone anywhere. You know, I think one of the best things people can do is to travel. In fact, if I could list the best things people could do for themselves, it would be to read, to write, and to do art, any form of art, and to travel. And walking. Walking is a really big one for me in my life. But travel is one that penetrates you on a level because it gives you an experience you can't really, explain unless someone's been there. You have to experience it. It's firsthand. Again, when I was in the Midwest, there was a real opposition to travel where I was. Again, you might be in a big city there, and you might be in a liberal arts town. You might have a totally different situation. But if you travel to some of the smaller towns, you're not going to get this much. The educational system, the public educational system in this country is not big on like, hey, everyone, let's go to Japan right now. And if you're in a school that does that, boy, you're lucky, because not all of them do. They might offer some, hey, let's go to Scotland for a week, but they're not like, let's delve you into this culture, I think people should just be like, I want to get up and I want to go live and work in Japan. In fact, that's where my husband and I are trying to move to, and we're literally trying to move mountains getting over there. As I mentioned, I'm a writer and my husband's an actor, originally, and then we ended up doing this because we were just feeling the weight of the entertainment industry, and then my husband came down with asthma, and we just searched and searched and searched, and all of our research and my studies and his studies just led us here, and this is where life has taken us. But we both loved Japan for so long and are just dying to move there. It's inconvenient as hell for us. We have a 1-year-old child. We have pets. We have a number of pets. We don't have visas. We have to literally do so much to get us over there, and I literally use the Law of Attraction to get money that you, out of nowhere, basically. I mean, literally not. Okay, not out of nowhere, but from a source that I didn't even know existed, really, or that would help me. I've got the money to move us over there, but I don't have a job, and so we basically have to somehow use the law of attraction to find ourselves work over there, hopefully in the entertainment industry, but if not, we want to teach because that's what we're passionate about. And then hopefully we, in our free time, will be doing what we love. But I mean, man, I have that urge to just, hey, I'm comfortable in LA. Now, I might not love being here. I'd rather be in Asia or Europe, but fine. I'm lucky to be here in such a culturally diverse place. But you know, that's not who I am. I know that. And if I stayed here, I would not be true to myself. So it might be a real pain in the ass for me to go over there and to take my daughter on a 14-hour flight or however long it is. But you know what? I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna find a way, even though it's quite difficult, and you know the jobs are limited in Japan, especially for foreigners. But we're gonna do it, and we're striving. So we'll constantly update you guys on that. But please, if you've got some dream, there is a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, and that's honestly one of the most powerful and true sayings. You know, please believe in yourself and don't settle, because I guarantee you can pretend to yourself you're happy. You can lie. You can lie to yourself. You can go to the bar and be like, hey, I'm at the bar now, you know? You can go to your, you know, parents' house and bring your kids over and, you know, have a great meal and try to forget about your discontent with where you've been and where you're going. But you know what? It'll never go away, because you really can't lie to yourself. I believe personally that everyone deserves the best. And I believe that, you know, we all have divine potential within ourselves. And I know that sounds airy-fairy, but for God's sakes, it's the truth. We like to cover it up and say, you know, I just want to live a simple life. I'm not that important. People want, for some reason, people really are attracted to that rural, you know, I come home to my kids and I do this and this and this, and then I go to work and we vacation at the same place every year. And you know, we got sent a Christmas card with, like, it's just, I don't know, it just was a really disturbing Christmas card from someone. And it just showed that they did the same thing all the time every year. Just to delve into this a little further about how people are settling and how they shouldn't, I'm going to talk about my Uncle Frank, one of the closest people in my life. My uncle right now is not doing too hot. He has prostate cancer. He's in stage four. He's lived a really depressing life. I know you guys are saying, oh, he probably doesn't want to hear this, but he's not going to hear this, and I'm saying this for the betterment of other people, because I've been working with Frank for years and seen him literally destroy himself. He is never been with a woman. He's not gay, he's straight. He dated a woman once. He's never been with a woman since. That was when he was in his teens. He's been a bachelor his whole life. He's now in his 70s. He's lived alone his whole life, his entire life. His family are not near him. He worked for a company his whole life. It wasn't a company he wanted to work for. He just happened to get hired by them. It's the same case as it is for a lot of people. The only difference is other people have families, you know, but it's the same thing. He got laid off because he's very shy and quiet, and I guess they wanted to hire a younger person to replace him. It destroyed him when they did this. His morale, I mean, it took him years. He still talks about it. It just destroyed him to his core. He was so insulted, but he's so meek and he's so kind that he just didn't want to say anything. He got a job somewhere else. Again, he was doing manual labor, and it was just like this monotonous, you know, job that he had, and people at work teased him. People at work at both places teased him horribly. Again, he was in a little town called Bar Hill Village in Cambridgeshire, UK. Very similar to the town, funny enough, that I was born into. We just found out 2 years ago that Frank had prostate cancer, and it was in stage two. I'm sorry, it was in stage three. And now it has metastasized and spread to his bone. The treatment he was receiving. It wasn't chemotherapy. They wouldn't put him on it. But he was not receiving the health nutrition that, you know, I would have hoped he would have received. And I was trying to give it to him, but my uncle's very, you know, he doesn't, I can't explain it, but he would start doing it and then stop. And then start doing it and get excited and then stop. And then start doing it and stop. And every time he'd start, he would have great results. His doctor was saying, oh, you're doing well. We don't need to put you on chemo. And then he'd stop. And guess what? Well, now, I just found out a few weeks ago, he's been laid off of work. He was, well, technically he was forced to retire. Again, he was working 20 years at this second company. We just found out that they just found a mass in him, a tumor in his liver, a kidney. He didn't tell us where. He's very vague. He has an incredible infection somewhere. He didn't say where. He said it was very severe. And he doesn't even talk about his health. So when we found this out, it was like, this is a big deal coming from him. Then he went and told us that, you know, that he now has to have a catheter permanently there because he cannot hold his bladder. It's prostate cancer. When they had found it, you know, they couldn't remove his prostate. Anyway, moral of the story is my uncle has lived a very sad, mediocre to the T life. You know, I've sat with him and I've begged him. I've said, Frank, don't you want to travel? You know, you have these savings. You've earned every penny. Why don't you go somewhere? And it's just, oh no, Elizabeth, this is where I'm from. This is where I, you know, it's the same spiel that I've gotten from people who are healthy, who have families in the Midwest. Oh, you know, this is my job, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, you try to grill them. Well, what did you used to want to do? And then they get passionate. Oh, I wanted to study this and blah, blah, blah. Well, why didn't you do that? Oh, well, I started to, you know, do this and this, and I just forgot about it. Now I have a family, and if you have kids, you can't travel. And this whole, you know, bullshit that they put there. Don't put it there, people. You deserve the best. And I'm not just saying that in a, you know, I'm a life coach and, you know, I'm saying that you really do. Whether you want to realize that or not, it's up to you, you know? But there are so many people that are following their dreams. There's a great book called Let's Get Lost. I think it's a British author. You search on Amazon for it. And he just goes over different places to get lost in. You know, India, I think, is one of them, and just different countries. You know, for God's sakes, you are not confined to your state, to your town, to your country. You might think you are. You might really be... have brainwashed yourself into thinking that, but you're not. You honestly are not. You want to go teach English somewhere? It's really easy to do. You know what? Go do it. If that's what you want. If you want to study self-help, you can do it. Even if you don't have the money, start applying the law of attraction right now. And doors will open that you never thought existed. They will. But you have to believe it so clearly. You have to literally live and breathe it, you know? That's when it starts to work. It's not, oh, I've had two good thoughts today. No. You need to be doing the affirmations, the vision board. And I'm going to actually, in my next post, talk about ways to really get the law of attraction working. I know there have been a lot of posts and blogs about that. But I really want people to just, I want to hit it home with people. You know, you don't have to have money to do this. This podcast is free. You know, I'm going to give you examples. But please, after you finish listening to this, you know, do this little exercise for me, okay? I want you to sit and take a few minutes, you know, while you're lying down in your bed or meditating. Take some really deep breaths just to get yourself still. Just to get yourself in that divine state where ego isn't as present as it normally is. And just ask yourself, you know, do I want a mediocre life? Or do I want a magnificent life? Honestly, ask yourself that question. Then ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing now helping me to stay or be or stay mediocre? Or is it helping me to be or to become marvelous, magnificent, remarkable? Is it helping me to have that life that has impacted others, that has been, you know, a life that has lived its dreams, or is living its dreams, or is pursuing its dreams? Or is it a life that's just settling? Then the next question you want to ask yourself, just take a few more breaths. How can I attain my dreams? What steps do I need to take to really get there? What sources can I use to inspire me to get there? Please go on our blog, and again, this is all free. We're not trying to, you know, get you to use our services. You can if you need a personalized program. You know, we have a cheap way of doing that. And then again, if you're in need of some really intense counseling, we can do it in person too if you're in the LA area. But this is free, people, okay? Go on my blog, thesotficfamily.blogspot.com, and look under our free resources and get motivated, okay? Then the next thing you want to ask yourself, and just again, take a few minutes to just really sit and feel still. I know this might sound stupid to you who don't do this normally, but again, when you are still, your ego or your mind created me, you know, the little voice in your head, the negative guy, it's not there. If you're really in the moment, if you listen to Eckhart Tolle, he talks about this in depth. The Power of Now is a great book that I recommend you buy right away if you're not familiar with getting into the now. Start to just look over how magnificent your life can be. Just think about it. How magnificent can my life be if I wasn't limiting myself? Where could I be right now if I hadn't limited myself in the past? That's a big one. Where could I be right now if I hadn't limited myself in the past? What is it that I want to do? How can I find out? The first step is to ask yourself questions. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. I mean, that sounds so corny, but I wish you more than the best of luck. I think you guys, you know, have that obligation to live a magnificent, remarkable life. A life so remarkable that people see you and are instantly influenced by you. You know, they just see you and they go, man, I want to do something that makes me as happy as her or him. Or, you know, look how he's helping people. I want to be like that. Or even if you're not helping people directly, just by being happy, your vibration, you're helping people. So again, I'm going to stress this. I know I'm beating it over the head. Please go to our blog, thesattvic, S-A-T-T-V-I-C, family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, .blogspot.com. Sattva is a Ayurvedic, it's a Sanskrit term. I'm going to say this is not totally accurate, but I'm going to go into it more in depth later. Sattva is kind of like a peace or in a perfect state or a harmonious state. In Ayurveda, they stress people living a sattvic life, a life filled with sattva, alliance with nature, you know, when the body is in rhythm with, you know, the way it naturally is supposed to be. In Ayurveda, I'm actually certified as a lifestyle consultant. That's my technical certification, Ayurvedic certification. And it's kind of, Ayurveda stresses doing everything we can to get in a mental and physical state of that alliance with nature, with that peacefulness. And that's why we're called the Sattvic family or Sattvic life coaches. So why don't you do everything in your power to live a Sattvic life, a life of alliance with nature, alliance with your divine self? You could say alliance with God. If you're a very Catholic or Christian person, and I haven't insulted you by saying there is no man sitting on a cloud, if you really understand the teachings of Jesus, of compassion, of the Buddha, of Gandhi, and understand this, you know, oneness that we all have, you know, please just sit and meditate on how you can have a more godly life. God meaning oneness or universe, not, you know, a man. You know, what can you do to be more Jesus-like? You know, what would Jesus do? I know that's corny, but what would he do? What would he have done? If he was a real person, what would he have done? You know, what would Gandhi do? What would Buddha do? What did they do with their lives? You know? Now think, what can I do in my field that will have a ripple effect, that will have an impact on myself, on others? Don't settle. Please don't live a mediocre life, a life that's just blah, a life that's not you. Be true to yourself. Because ultimately, that's really what we, I think, all are here for, you know, to be true to our essence, true to our divine self. I hope you come back next time. Again, I want to go into the law of attraction a little more. But I hope you've had a chance to look up some of the websites I've told you that are free. I'm not hired by them. I'm just searching and I found them. But my teacher, again, she's arogyaforhealth.com, arogyaforhealth.com. And our blog, again, I literally, like, there are 40 links I give that are free information from inspirational teachers throughout the world, Buddhist and otherwise. Please, please go there and use it. If you are ill and are in need of help, go to our blog, because I give a great health advice that, again, is illegal in America to say you cure someone, so I give quote-unquote health advice. And we work for free with people who have HIV or AIDS, helping you to adjust to a more sattvic diet. So please go to our website, thesattvicfamily.com, or sorry, .blogspot.com. Just investigate, start asking questions, and start living the life that you were born to live. Okay? Namaste, everybody.